radio, vayas donde vayas. Toda nuestra programación en directo, retos, podcast y redes sociales disponibles a un solo clic para que continúes mejorando tu inglés. Descárgala ya, no esperes más.
Estar en medio. ¿Qué significa estar en medio? Pues no estar en ningún sitio concreto, ni bueno ni malo, ser un soso, o lo que es peor, molestar. Estar en medio y no dejar ver una peli, estar en medio de dos personas. Vamos, que eso del medio no mola. Pues con el inglés pasa lo mismo. Ese famoso nivel intermedio de inglés no sirve para nada. Es ni fu ni fa, incluso molesto. Por eso, un nivel de inglés intermedio no te va a ayudar a mejorar en tu carrera profesional. Así que ya es hora de cambiar.
Vence al nivel intermedio de inglés con el Executive Master en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan. Compatible con tu trabajo, exigente y eficaz. Más de 500 horas intensivas para mejorar tu inglés profesional. Apúntate ahora. Llama al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
Estás escuchando Vaughan Radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to... That's right, amigos. That's right. It's the show with no name 2.0 on Vaughan Radio. And we're here with your favorite DJ in the whole wide world.
One ho or another, I'm gonna find you. I'm gonna get you. One ho or another.
That's right. That's right. It's Juanjo or another in the house, my amigos. And what a great day we are having. We are more than halfway through the show. And in a half an hour, it's going to be Monday afternoon. See? That wasn't so bad. No fue tan mal. Good job, amigos. All right, well, we are in the middle of today's Double Trouble. And, well, as always, we are looking at your answers here on Twitter. Remember, if you want to participate on Twitter... Oh, no, wait, I'm so forgetful. Juanjo, ¿cómo iba eso de Twitter otra vez?
Tuiteanos. IM Alberto Alonso. IM Alberto Alonso. Este es tu show con Alberto Alonso.
That's right, that's right. It's I'm Alberto Alonso on Twitter. Remember, I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, Alberto_Alonso, or you can find everything on my website, albertoalonso.com. Stop by, pay me a visit, amigos, and you won't be disappointed. You'll find tons of videos and things of that sort. All right, well, folks, we are looking at today's Double Trouble, and you guys have done a wonderful job in general. Hey, I didn't doubt you for one second. Yo no os dudaba ni por un segundo. In fact, it's strange when nobody gets it right. You know, that, eso para mí, digo, no puede ser. Como los, you know, the superstars I've got here on board, how can it be? How can it be now? Who can it be now? All right, well, my amigos, let's take a look at today's Double Trouble. Now, the first part is, aprobé mi oposición para abogado. Okay, esa parte a lo mejor te cuesta más. No worries. The second part's pretty easy. Vamos a celebrarlo en el bar. Okay, let's celebrate it. In the bar or at the bar. El único que no vale es on the bar. A no ser que te lo quieres celebrar encima del bar. Okay. Just so you know the difference. In is dentro, literalmente. At is igual. Estás ahí. Estás en el, right? So, the second part. This is the way this section really works here. It works like this, you know, where you say, okay, me dices la mitad. Bien. Now, process of elimination, we can find out the rest. All right? So, aprobé mi oposición para abogado. Vamos a celebrarlo en el bar. Let's celebrate it or let's celebrate at the bar. Eso es correcto. Let's celebrate at the bar, right? All right, so let's look at the first part. Aprobé mi oposición para abogado. I passed, ¿no? To fail es no aprobar un examen. And to pass es aprobar, right? To pass. Did you pass your exam or did you fail your exam? Well, they call the exam the bar exam. That's right, the bar, B-A-R, right? The bar exam. So to pass the bar is literally means I am officially a lawyer now. I passed the bar. That's right, to pass the bar. Now, you don't have to say the bar exam. In context, you'll know. If a lawyer said, well, I'm studying for my bar. I'm studying for my bar. That means estoy estudiando para mi examen para ser abogado. Right? Bar. So law schools prepare you to take your bar exam. Right? So I'm looking over here if I see Spain, Brazil, People's Republic of China. So bar. I'm not sure if it stands for something. Bar, retail, alcoholic, law. The division of the courtroom. Yeah, bar, legal profession. Bar separates parts of the courtroom. Okay, yeah. I'm looking if it, like, if there's a actual, an acronym, but it's a bar. It comes from a word that's used in the courtroom. We're going to bar. Bar is, prohibir, right? We're going to bar you from the courtroom if you don't take it easy. But again, it's called the bar, right? And you have to pass the bar if you want to be a lawyer, right? If you don't pass the bar, you're not officially a lawyer, at least in my country. So, aprobé mi oposición para abogado. I passed the bar, or the bar exam. Let's celebrate at a bar. Vamos a celebrar en un bar. Easy. I told you it was easy. That wasn't hard at all, amigos. So, to pass the bar. Now, if you have any friends who are lawyers, teach them that one. Enséñales esa. It's good to know if they don't know it already. Okay, well, you could ask them, when did you pass the bar? ¿Cuándo pasaste, cuando aprobaste tú? Yo me equivoco al inverso con eso. Siempre digo, pasé el examen. Right? Because in English, aprobar is to pass. So, hey, guys, there's hope. Because we make the same mistakes when you flip-flop them. Right? So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's part of learning a language, making mistakes and saying, okay, pues nosotros decimos pass. Pues yo voy a decir pasar un examen. Porque creo que es así. But it's not. It's aprobar. To approve, which is strange. Right? That doesn't make as much sense for us. To approve an exam. But hey, that's where we have to learn. Where I always say it's really important to learn where the languages are similar and where they differ. And then it's simple. Then all you have to do is say, okay, claro, aquí no estamos de acuerdo, aquí sí, aquí no, aquí sí, aquí casi, pero no, right? And, well, it just helps you relate to the, because what are you comparing English with Spanish? You're comparing it to what you know, right? And you know Spanish. So there you go, folks. It's today's Double Trouble. Excellent job to everybody who participated. All right. Well, we've got a lot of stuff to do still on today's show. And you know what? We haven't done one of my favorite sections yet. We haven't done Name That Lyric.
Hi. Hello, Alberto. I think the song is... No? Sorry, bye.
Name that lyric, name that lyric, name that lyric, name that lyric, only on the show with no name, the show with no name, the show with no name. It's name that lyric, only on the show with no name, the show with no name, the show with no name. It's name that lyric, only on the show with no name.
That's right, folks, that's right. It's Name That Lyric, only on the show with... no name. And as always, we are learning today and laughing. And now it's time to sing a little bit. You know I love singing. I'm not a great singer, but that's not going to stop me. That's what I tell you guys when you say, oh, I don't speak English really, really well. Well, that shouldn't stop you. ¿Por qué te va a frenar eso? You know, why? I don't do a lot of things well. Well, what does that mean? I shouldn't leave my house? You know? So if we have that attitude, forget it. All right, well, folks, you know how this section works. I give you a song lyric in Spanish, and you tell me the name of the song and the name of the artist in English. And this is, oh, man, I love this song. All my rockers, you guys are going to love this song. Even if you're not a rocker, you're going to love this song. My mother hates the artist and loves the song. So you figure it out. Averígualo tú. We say that in English. You figure it out. All right, guys, so here it goes. I'll give you the song lyric in Spanish. You tell me the name of the song and the name of the artist. Here we go. Me acogiste y me espantaste. Sí, sí, me tuviste hipnotizado. Perdido y encontrado y cambiado por el fuego en tus ojos. Me hiciste llorar, me mentiste. Pero no soporto decir adiós o despedirme. Mamá, vuelvo a casa. Puede que tenga razón, puede que no. Duele tanto. Ha pasado tanto tiempo. Mamá, vuelvo a casa. Excellent song. Oh, man. Just thinking of this song gets me going. Love this one. Great, great tune. Right? In Estados Unidos, we say great tune. Buenísimo. Tema, no, buenísimo, buena canción, great tune. So, amigos, let's take a look. Let's see if anybody knows it. It's a great song. Let me give you the song lyric one more time in Spanish, and you guys tell me the name of the song and the name of the artist on Twitter at I'm Alberto Alonso. Here we go. Me acogiste y me espantaste. Sí, me tuviste hipnotizado, perdido y encontrado. Y cambiado por el fuego en tus ojos. Me hiciste llorar, me mentiste, pero no soporto despedirme o decir adiós. Mamá, vuelvo a casa. Puede que tenga razón, puede que no. Duele tanto, ha pasado tanto tiempo. Mamá, vuelvo a casa.
Haz un máster en inglés profesional. En solo 5 meses saldrás perfectamente preparado para comunicarte en inglés en el trabajo. No importa lo que hayas estudiado, no importa a qué te quieras dedicar. Hagas lo que hagas, vas a necesitar el inglés. Haz un máster que realmente merezca la pena. Haz el máster en inglés profesional de Vaughan. Más información en el 911335833 o en grupovaughan.com. Máster en inglés profesional. Apunta alto. Llega más lejos.
Además, ahora financiate hasta el 100% del coste y págalo cómodamente hasta en 24 meses. Puedes ver las condiciones de financiación en el apartado de máster en grupovaughan.com.
Vence al nivel intermedio de inglés con el Executive Master en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan, compatible con tu trabajo, exigente y eficaz. Más de 500 horas intensivas para mejorar tu inglés profesional. Apúntate ahora.
Disponible en Barcelona, Madrid y Valencia. Llama y solicita tu prueba de nivel gratis. Más información en grupovaughan.com.
Folks, well, we're looking at today's Name That Lyric, and many of you got it right. It's Ozzy Osbourne, Mama, I'm Coming Home. Ozzy Osbourne, oh man, one of my favorite artists. Now, he is batshit crazy. Es una forma de decir loquísimo. Y bat es lo que se comió la cabeza de un murciélago, so did you get my play on words there? ¿Pillaste mi juego de palabras? He is batshit. Batshit está como una cabra, pero murciélago, porque, bueno, como no ven, están, right? So, Ozzy's batshit, but usually, if you're batshit, it makes for a good artist. Normalmente los artistas, you know, who are batshit. Look at Van Gogh. He was batshit. And look what he did, right? And Ozzy is no different in that way, that he's out of his mind, and, well, he's made some great music because of it. All right, now, the song is called Mama, I'm Coming Home. And it is not a song about his mom, his maternal, you know, the person who gave birth to him, right? No, it's not about his mom. It's mama, like baby, right? Mama, I love you. You know it from Led Zeppelin. Hey, mama said the way you move gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove. Right. So mama can be another way. Let's, like you say mami in Spanish. Hola, mami. ¿Qué pasa, mami? Mom? You know, it's a term of saying mi guapa, mi, right? Mama. So it has nothing to do with his mom. He's talking about when he was going home to see his wife, manager, his better half. Como decimos. Porque obviamente ella lleva toda la casa, porque si no. His better half, Sharon Osbourne. His wife, who's been with him since the beginning. And every time he would talk to Sharon at the end of a tour, he would say, Mama, I'm coming home. Mama, I'm coming home. In his crazy Ozzy Osbourne way. Mama, I'm coming home. You say, Mama, mamacita, amor, vuelvo a casa. Mama, I'm coming home. And, well, he, you know, as I said, Sharon is not just his wife. She's his manager. She's just his inspiration. You know, a lot of songs. It's not the only song that he's written about her. And in fact, he gave up drugs and alcohol before recording this song. And, in fact, who does he credit for that? He credits Sharon for his lifestyle change. And he goes, I would be dead if I didn't sober up. Right? Sober up is ponerme sobrio. I would be dead if I didn't sober up. So this was one of his songs that he wrote when he was sober, which there aren't many of those songs. And it's just based on a simple line that he said when he was, you know, at the end of one of his tours, because obviously he was always intensively touring around the United States and Europe and Japan and everywhere in Asia. And now, here's something I didn't know. You guys know Lemmy from Motorhead? Well, Lemmy wrote the lyrics. That's right. In fact, he helped Ozzy write many of the songs on this album, which is an amazing album. And he wrote the words in less than 2 hours. Pretty crazy, huh? This is a huge hit, this song. Ozzy, as I said, had the title of the song, Mama, I'm Coming Home. He had the music, and Lemmy said, let me write some lyrics, mate. And that's what he did. He wrote 3 sets of lyrics for Ozzy. 3 sets. Por si no te gustan, te voy a dar 3 diferentes opciones. That's pretty crazy, huh? He says, Ozzy, you decide which one you like the best. And, well, Ozzy was just, you know, he was just flabbergasted. Wow! Flabbergasted, marveled, right? And he says he just writes them as if he's writing a message. And he says, and they're not good lyrics. They're fucking amazing lyrics, is what he says in true Ozzy fashion. So there's something I didn't know about that. Excellent song. Even my mother loves this song. And the words were written by Lemmy from Motorhead. All right, let's take a look at the lyrics here. You took me in and you drove me out. Yeah, you had me hypnotized. You took me in to take in. Piensa esta palabra. Acoger. Tomar dentro. Come on. Come on in. You took me in and you drove me out. To drive somebody out is to scare them away. Espantar a alguien. So look at that. He's playing with that duality there of me acogiste y luego me espantaste, right? You took me in and you drove me out. Yeah, you had me hypnotized. Yeah, you had me hypnotized, right? Con Y, hypnotized, con feta. You had me hypnotized. Lost and found and turned around. Lost and found and turned around. By the fire in your eyes. By the fire in your eyes. So lost and found. Perdido y encontrado. And turned around. Y cambiado. Right, think about it. See, that's un giro, right? You turn around. So lost and found. He's talking about how she saved his life. Lost, found, and turned around. By the fire in your eyes. Por la pasión, el fuego en tus ojos. Beautiful song. Lemmy wrote that there. Lost and found and turned around by the fire in your eyes. Lost and found, también muy importante saber por qué es objetos perdidos. If you're ever lose something on an airplane, you might want to go to the lost and found department and hopefully find what you're looking for. And he goes, you made me cry, you told me lies, but I can't stand to say goodbye. Mama, I'm coming home. You made me cry, me hiciste llorar. You told me lies, me mentiste. But I can't stand to say goodbye. Pero no soporto decir adiós. Mama, I'm coming home. Vuelvo a casa, mamá. Amor. I could be right, I could be wrong. It hurts so bad, it's been so long. I could be right. Puede que tenga razón. I could be wrong. Puede que no tenga razón. Right? It hurts so bad. Me duele tanto. It's been so long. Ha pasado tanto tiempo. Hay que saber esta. It's been so long. Difícil de cantar esta canción. Me estoy dando cuenta. Well, Ozzy is Ozzy. There you go. And if you don't know this song, do yourself a big favor and watch the video. It's great. It hurts so bad. It's been so long. Mama, I'm coming home. Mama, I'm coming home. Great song by Ozzy Osbourne, written with the help of one of the greatest songwriters out there, Lemmy. Rest in peace, the late defunto Lemmy from Motorhead. All right, well, there you go, folks. It's today's Name That Lyric on the show with no name. All right, let's keep things moving along. I think it's time for Today in History. Today in History. Nothing to fear but fear itself. Fear itself. That's right, folks. It's Today in History on the show with no name. All right, now what have we got for you today? Today we're talking about the Black Sox scandal. What? The Black Sox scandal. What are the Black Sox? Well, the Black Sox was a baseball team. Back in the day, you know, the Red Sox, right? The White Sox, those are Sox, escrito S-O-X, Sox. Well, this was a scandal that plagued baseball in the United States in 1919. Okay, so this was today in 1919. The Cincinnati Reds won the World Series. Now, the World Series, for those of you who don't know baseball, are the final seven games. Now, in Major League Baseball, in the MLB in the United States, you have two leagues, right? You've got the National League and the American League, right? Two different leagues. And the best of each league play each other in the final seven games, best of seven. So the first team to win four games wins the World Series. That's the way it works, a seven-game series. So the Cincinnati Reds won the World Series today in 1919. But this was a fixed match, right? Fixed. Amañado, fixed, right? We also say the el que perdió aposta, that we say they threw the match. They threw the game. They threw the series in this case, right? So, what happened? Eight members of the Chicago White Sox, pues le llaman Black Sox, porque era un momento muy oscuro in baseball. It was a dark moment for baseball when they realized that, people weren't playing baseball. They were, playing ball with gangsters, playing ball, literalmente, siguiendo el juego a los gangsters for lots of money. So, all of a sudden, baseball, which had been America's favorite pastime and a great game, turned into this ugly thing. What?
Really? Is that what we have to do? We have to deal with this crap? So they're not even really playing? So 8 members of the Chicago White Sox were accused of intentionally throwing the 1919 World Series against the Cincinnati Reds in exchange for money, as I said. Now, there was a famous gambler who made a lot of money. And, well, his name, Arnold Rothstein, right? Arnold Rothstein, a gambler. And, well, what happened was a lot of people were paid money and bribed, sobornados, right? Bribed. And, well, what they did then, they appointed a guy named Judge Kennesaw Mountain Landis. He was the first commissioner of baseball, and he ruled with an iron fist. Okay, puño de hierro. He ruled with an iron fist, and he says the American Baseball Association will not deal with this. We'll not deal with any kind of behavior like this. And what he did was he had absolute control over the sport. And what he did was he banished these players. He banned all 8 of these players from professional baseball for the rest of his life, for the rest of their lives, really. And in fact, this ban remains in force today. In 2017, this ban remains in force, en vigor, to this day. Now, there's a really sad story to come out of this. Una historia bastante triste que sale de aquí. And there's a guy, you should watch this, it's a very interesting documentary, a guy named Shoeless Joe Jackson. Shoeless Joe, búscale. Now, he was one of the players on the White Sox. And he found money on his mattress and su colchón. And he returned, he said, I don't want this. I don't want any part of this. And then when they told him, you're in, tú tienes que hacerlo. You're in no matter what. He said, I don't want to play. Take me out. And they said, you don't decide. You're playing. Vas a jugar hoy. Sí o sí. So Shoeless Joe Jackson was a victim of this as well. But this guy, Judge Kennesaw Mountain Landis, the new commissioner, the iron-fisted commissioner, said, I don't give a damn. You were involved. You were part of the team. You were part of the... And they said, if you look at the way he played, he wasn't playing to lose. And here's the really interesting part. You ask any of the baseball greats. You ask Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle. These are the kings of this game. You ask them who the best was, and they'll tell you Shoeless Joe. Shoeless Joe Jackson. Shoeless, sin zapatos. Shoeless Joe Jackson. And, well, he went to his deathbed not being able to play baseball professionally ever again. And he claimed his innocence. He said, I'm innocent. I'm a victim here. He goes, I didn't want to. And he wasn't a smart guy. He couldn't read, right? And they said, you know, that they took advantage of him as well. So if you ever want to hear a truly interesting story about a guy who didn't get a fair shake, que no recibió el trato justo, in my opinion, que vimos esta expresión esta semana pasada, a fair shake. Well, read the story of Shoeless Joe, Shoeless Joe Jackson, and or you can look up the Black Sox scandal, or the 1919 baseball scandal. All right, guys, we've got to go to a commercial break, but we'll be back in 2 minutes with tons more Show With No Name 2.0. So stick around.
¿Sabes que el EMIP es un programa creado especialmente para profesionales como tú. Por eso, en Vaughan hemos creado el WEMI. Es el Executive Master en Inglés Profesional de fin de semana. Y atención, son las últimas plazas. No dejes pasar esta oportunidad para potenciar tu futuro profesional. WEMI, últimas plazas, 911335833, 911335833 o grupovaughan.com. Disponible también en Valencia.
Me encanta esa canción que tiene estribillo.
Ah, ya sé cuál es. 'Cause if you liked it, then you should have put a ring on it. If you liked it, then you should have put a ring on it. Don't be mad once you see that he won it. If you liked it, then you should have put a ring on it.
Wow, your English is amazing. Where are you from?
Me? I'm from Vaughan Town.
Ven a Vaughan Town. El lugar donde vivirás una experiencia única que equivale a 500 horas de clase y mejorarás tu nivel de inglés. Atrévete a vivir en inglés y verás la diferencia. Infórmate en el 911-133-5833.
Ahora sí que no tienes excusa para no escuchar Vaughan Radio, vayas donde vayas. Toda nuestra programación en directo, retos, podcast y redes sociales disponibles a un solo clic para que continúes mejorando tu inglés. Descárgala ya, no esperes más.
¿Todavía no sabes qué nivel de inglés ponerte en el currículo? Si estás pensando en hacer uno de los másters en inglés profesional de Vaughan, te invitamos a una prueba de nivel gratuita para que lo tengas mucho más claro. Y sin ningún tipo de compromiso, disponible también en Valencia y Barcelona.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to
the show with no name.
That's right, folks. That's right. It's the show with no name 2.0 on Vaughan Radio. And we're here with your favorite DJ in the whole wide world.
One ho or another. I'm gonna find you. I'm gonna get you. One ho or another.
That's right, folks. It's one ho or another in the house, my amigos. And as always, we are getting you through Monday morning. In fact, it is officially Monday afternoon. We've made it through the morning, folks. Excellent job. And we've got another half an hour, less than a half an hour, to make it count. All right, well, guys, let's solve the question we had on our app. We've got an active question. We looked at it before. And out of 209 participants, 77%, great job, 77% of you got it right. The correct answer was, it takes a leap of faith. Un salto de fe, we say. It takes, sometimes in life, it takes a leap of faith. These people who say, you know, I hate my job, I would love to, you know, open up a ceramic studio, and but if you can say it, you can do it, right? But of course, that means leaving your comfortable job where you make enough money to make ends meet. You got a fin de mes to make ends meet, right? Como nosotros, we don't say to make it to the end of the month, right? Me gusta llegar a fin de mes, muy literal. We say to make ends meet, hacer que los cabos se toquen, no? And sure, the beauty, I'd love to have my own ceramic studio, sure. But the reality is you have to make ends meet, right? So, guys, there it is. There it is. All right, let's give him another one over here. A leap of faith. Era el último. Okay, here's one for you. Ya no puedo más. Estoy que no puedo más. I'm at my wits. Nos falta un sustantivo ahí. If you know the correct answer, guys, remember, it's a review, so you should know it, right? I'm at my wits. I'm at my wits. Que significa que ya no puedo más. Estoy harto. No puedo más. I'm at my wits. If you know the correct answer, you guys can participate via the app. And, let's keep things moving along. Vamos a seguir aquí, because we've got so much to do. I think it's time for today's Name That Movie!
Name That Movie.
That's right, folks. It's Name That Movie, only on the show with no name. And as always, we're going to learn some English from some of your favorite movies. All right, here we go, folks. As always, I'll give you a little scene from a movie, and you guys tell me on Twitter the name of that movie. Pero otra vez, Juanjo. No me acuerdo, tío. What was my Twitter handle?
Síguenos en Twitter, @IMAlbertoAlonso.
That's right, folks. It's I'm Alberto Alonso on Twitter. All right, let's take a look, folks. If you know the movie, you can let us know. Here we go. Why is she mad at me? And it's not about the mess, either. It's about something else. Well, ask her, then. No. Look, Abe, when a woman's mad at you, but she's really mad about something else, and you have to ask. She gets mad because you had to ask in the first place. You know? Never mind. Don't answer that. There you go, folks. So obviously they are drunk. Unless I didn't interpret it clearly. They are drunk. Están borrachos. And they are slurring their words. When you're drunk, you slur your words. S-L-U-R. Right? So they're slurring their words. They can't really speak very, right? This is to slur your words where you really don't finish this. You don't really enunciate or pronounce anything, right? You're slurring your words. To slur your words, right? So in this scene, that's what's going on. All right? So the guy says, why is she mad at me? ¿Por qué está enfadada conmigo? Now, careful, I always see you guys say mad with. Are you mad with me? Right? You can say angry with, but mad with? No. Right? Are you mad about tal cosa? ¿Estás enfadado por tal cosa? Are you mad at me, at una persona, about tal cosa? We use it more than angry. Why? Because it's one syllable and angry is two. So we say mad. Are you mad? Que también es loco. Right? You'll know from the context. That's the good news there. There will be no doubt at all. You'll know it from the context. Right? So why is she mad at me? ¿Por qué está enfadada conmigo? And it's not about the mess either. Y no es por el lío, el desorden. It's not about the mess either. It's about something else. Va de otra cosa. It's about something else. ¿Usáis este else? Deberíais usar el else este. Porque lo usamos siempre. What I want you to do is write down all your questions. Who, what, where. Lo estoy haciendo yo. Hazlo conmigo. When, how, why. Right? Escríbelos todos. Who, what, where, when, why. Wow. Who, what, where, when, how, why. All right? Now, ponle un else después de cada uno. Who else is coming to the party? ¿Quién más viene a la fiesta? What else haven't you told me? ¿Qué más no me has contado? What else haven't you told me? ¿Usáis el else en vez del more en estos casos? Deberíais. Vamos con el where. Where else did you go on holiday? ¿Dónde más fuiste en tus vacaciones? Where else? When else were we working together? ¿En qué otra ocasión? ¿Cuándo más, no? When else were we working together? How else can we do this? Because I don't want to spend that kind of money. Yo no quiero gastar tanto dinero. So how else can we do it? How else? Right? How else? ¿De qué otra manera? right? Why else? ¿Por qué otra razón? Right? So, again, you need to use this else. Everybody else, todos los demás, everyone else, nobody else speaks Chinese in this company. Only him, nobody else, right? So familiarize yourself with this else, right? You need to know this else thing, right? Else. El. I know you guys say else. Right? Else. Who else is listening to this program? ¿Quién más escucha este programa? Who else? Right? Where else have I seen you? Practice them, guys. Y luego tenemos el histórico or else, porque si no, right? You'd better listen to me, or else, porque si no, right? Or else, or else. So, are you familiar with this else? Do you use else? You should. If you're not using it, what else are you waiting for? ¿Qué más esperas? Right? When else are you going to get to use it, if not here, with us? Right? Else. Lo escribís else, pero es else. So he says, it's about something else. Va de otra cosa. It's about something else. And Abe answers, also drunk, well, ask her then. Pues entonces pregúntale. Well, ask her then. And Hellboy, por si no lo sabíais vosotros ya, Hellboy, es la película. No. Look, Abe, when a woman's mad at you, cuando una mujer está enfadada contigo, but she's really mad about something else, pero realmente está enfadada por otra cosa, and you have to ask, y tienes que preguntar, she gets mad because you had to ask in the first place. Ella se enfada porque le tenías que preguntar desde el primer momento, en primer lugar, in the first place, igual. You know, una muletilla muy americana. And he goes, never mind. Don't answer that. Right? Now, this is an interesting one. Never mind. Nirvana ruined this one for everybody. Never mind is olvídate. Right? Never mind. But what is it? It's not one word. It's two words. Así que Nirvana y they just, they did what they wanted. Y yo toda mi vida, ahora desde que salió ese disco, never mind, lo pongo como una sola palabra. Pero no lo es. So it's never mind. Interesting, huh? Nirvana didn't care. they're not interested in grammar. He says, never mind, olvida, don't answer that. No contestes, don't answer that. All right. And, Peter Jackson, you guys know Peter Jackson, the famous director, approached us, se acercó a Guillermo del Toro, you guys know him, to direct Halo. You know, Halo, well, I think you say Halo, the alien game. We say Halo. What an angel has is called a halo. And Del Toro was considering it. What he did is he turned the offer down in the end to direct this sequel, Hellboy 2. He also turned down, rechazar, I'm Legend, Missed Call, Llamada Perdida, and Harry Potter, as well, one of the Harry Potter, El Misterio del Príncipe, and for the same reason. So he turned down a lot of big movies to direct this movie. And, just like in the first film, if you've seen Hellboy, this is Hellboy 2, just like in the first film, none of the cast members' names are written on the posters. They're not mentioned in the trailers or shown in the opening credits. So it's not about the big actors in this. It's about, you know, Hellboy. Now, this is Seth MacFarlane. You guys know Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy, Padre de Familia. This was his first major motion picture. So you have to check it out, not only because it was directed by the great Guillermo del Toro, and he turned down a lot of other big movies to direct this, but it was also Seth MacFarlane, if you're a fan like I am, of the Family Guy creator. Well, it was his first time on the big screen in a major motion picture. So there we go, folks. The movie is Hellboy 2. Hellboy 2. And if you haven't seen it, good movie. They're drunk in that scene, of course. And remember, mad. I'm mad at you. I'm mad about. Now, mad también es loco por como I'm mad about Madrid. Okay, estoy loco con Madrid. Me encanta esta ciudad. So remember, context is everything. El contexto es todo. All right, guys. Well, we've got a lot of stuff to do still on today's show with No Name 2.0. So I'm thinking maybe we can take a look at today's famous birthday trivia. Right, folks, that's right. It's famous birthday trivia only on the show with No Name, and time is just flying by. We've got about another 15 minutes or so to make it happen, folks. So I'm going to tell you today's three famous birthday boys and girls. Well, no, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to give you some clues. That's what I usually do. And then you tell me who the famous birthday boys and girls are today. All right, so let's take a look, folks. The first person was born in 1940. In the year 1940, an English singer, songwriter, guitarist, and producer. Probably one of the most famous songwriters in history. One of the most famous rock stars in history. What can we tell you about this guy? He was kind of rebellious, you know. I would say in his group, he was probably the most rebellious, the most acerbic. You know that word. We looked at it before. And not only, you know, when he was talking or doing an interview, but in his music, in his writings, in his drawings. He was even controversial, some would say. Well, the FBI thought he was controversial enough to keep some documents, to keep information on him. Well, because he was an activist as well as a musician. So he used his voice to fight against war and to tell people peace was the answer, not killing each other. And, well, he was always involved in all these protests against the Vietnam War. And, well, they even, Richard Nixon's administration tried to deport him when he moved in 1971. He moved to Manhattan. He moved to New York City. And because of his criticism of the Vietnam War, the president and his cabinet and his administration wanted to deport this guy back to England. And, well, it didn't work. But they were watching him. They had their eye on him. Le estaban vigilando de cerca. Sure, they said, oh, this guy, he's anti-war. He's making a lot of noise. And, well, what was he doing? Just, you know, using his platform as one of the most famous musicians ever to get a message of peace across, not a message of bombs and death and destruction. And, well, as I said, this guy's probably one of the most celebrated artists ever. And it's not just because of his music. It's because of his views, because of his peaceful nature, that his anti-establishment, you know, establishment is los que mandan, ¿no? And he was against that. He was against those big powers and those corporations. And that was not a popular opinion, you know. But he was unfortunately assassinated in New York City, right in front of his home at the Dakota. The Dakota is the building in New York City where he was assassinated, where he lived, where his wife, his Japanese wife, still lives. And what could I tell you about? Oh, the Dakota. If you guys have seen Semilla del Diablo, which is Rosemary's Baby in English, great movie. It was filmed in that building. It takes place in the Dakota. So, yeah, very famous building for many reasons. And, well, this guy was assassinated outside of his house there. Really sad. And even to this day, people go to Central Park and there's a section where you can see a flame, an eternal flame dedicated to him. And people are playing songs by his band, songs written by him. And it's probably, to be honest, one of the most visited areas of Central Park. I would say, if not the most visited area of Central Park. And yeah, and he loved Central Park. Now, if you don't know who this guy is, I didn't even say his band. But if you don't know who it is, you're never going to know. All right, number two. She was born in 1952. An English television host and manager, right? And, well, she's what you would call an impresario. We looked at this word before. A businesswoman, promoter. I mean, she's a superwoman is what she is. She's really short, Miss Bajita, but she is a ball of thunder, right? Una bola de truenos, de relámpagos, you know? And, well, she became very, very famous as the manager of her husband, who was originally a member of Black Sabbath. And then Black Sabbath sacked her husband. Well, they weren't husband and wife yet, but it's a crazy story. Her father, Don Arden, this woman's father, Don Arden, was a rock and roll entrepreneur, an impresario, and he managed Black Sabbath. And, well, he decided to sack or to fire Ozzy from the group. And it was because he resented, we know that word, resentment, to resent. It was because he resented his daughter for dating Ozzy and managing his career. He hated Ozzy. So his daughter said, I love him and I believe in him, Dad, and I'm going to manage him. And, needless to say, she never had a good relationship with her father. Man, there were times that the dogs attacked Ozzy. She was pregnant at one time, and there was another attack from the dog. So she had a very troubled upbringing. You guys know that word. We looked at it earlier. A very troubled upbringing. And so did Ozzy. And in fact, their relationship was fueled by alcohol and drugs and violence until, well, he got sober. And they dealt with their issues, right? Their upbringing. They both had horrible upbringings. And she's responsible not only for lifting this guy's career after Black Sabbath, but also for starting one of the coolest festivals, and a festival I always would go to as a child, Ozfest. Yeah. There you go. That's number two. And number three, ladies and gentlemen, he was born in 1964, a Mexican-American director and screenwriter. He's done Spanish stuff, English-speaking stuff, usually dark fantasy pieces, Pan's Labyrinth, Blade 2, Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, Pacific Rim. And he's also produced The Orphanage, El Orfanato, and many, many other Hobbit films as well. He was chosen, as I said, to direct some of these Hobbit films. But he's been involved, in the movie-making industry for years. And those are today's three famous birthdays.
Una dosis de estancia en el extranjero concentrada, eso es Vaughan Town. Más de 70 horas con un programa especialmente diseñado para avanzar radicalmente en solo 6 días.
Vaughan Town es un programa de inmersión lingüística en inglés, donde durante 6 días y sin salir de España conviven participantes españoles con al menos el mismo número nativos angloparlantes procedentes de todas partes del mundo.
¿Tienes mucho interés en aprender inglés, pero por cuestiones profesionales o familiares te resulta imposible pasarte un verano en un país angloparlante? No te preocupes, te presentamos Vaughan Town, nuestro particular pueblo de habla inglesa. Llama al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
Es como una dosis de estancia en el extranjero concentrada. La inmersión que supone una experiencia como el pueblo angloparlante de Vaughan Town te permitirá comunicarte con decisión y confianza a pesar de los errores que puedas cometer. Superar Vencerás de por vida el miedo escénico y el sentido del ridículo a la hora de expresarte en inglés.
Pero lo que más notarás es un cambio psicológico respecto al idioma. Saldrás de tu paso por nuestro pueblo angloparlante mucho más confiado en tu capacidad de comunicación y serás capaz de realizar todo tipo de actividad profesional en inglés con más eficacia. Llama ahora al 91-133-5833 o visita grupobaugan.com.
Y en tan solo 6 días en Vaughan Town tendrás la oportunidad de escuchar y hablar más inglés que en 500 horas de clase.
En Vaughan Town aprenderás a soltarte y a quitarte todos los miedos y complejos que puedas tener al comunicarte en inglés. El programa te sumergirá en un ambiente en el que tendrás que expresarte 200 veces por hora ante personas angloparlantes. Te darás cuenta de que con el dominio de los cimientos básicos del inglés podrás comunicarte de forma eficaz y ágil. Infórmate en el teléfono 91-133-5833 o entra en grupobaugan.com.
Descubrirás que las clases de inglés, en su sentido convencional, solo resuelven el 20% del problema, ya que la comprensión auditiva es la base fundamental para hacerse con cualquier idioma.
Infórmate en el teléfono 91-133-5833 o entra en grupobaugan.com.
Descubre el programa que te va a sumergir en un ambiente en el que tendrás que expresarte 200 veces por hora ante personas con las que tendrás que comunicarte inexcusablemente.
Romperás cualquier barrera psicológica y superarás los momentos de inseguridad, consiguiendo desenvolverte con total decisión y confianza, algo que solo habrías conseguido pasando al menos 6 meses en un país anglosajón.
Tendrás una concentración de inglés que tardarías meses en alcanzar en cualquier otro entorno.
Llama al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupobaugan.com.
Vive la experiencia Vaughan Town.
Folks, that's right. All right, well, today's 3 famous birthdays. You guys nailed it. Great job. Number 1, John Lennon. Number 2, Sharon Osbourne. That's right, Sharon Osbourne, the backbone behind Ozzy Osbourne. And ladies and gentlemen, our 3rd and final famous birthday, Guillermo del Toro, a wonderful director born today in 1964. All right, well, great job, guys, on all the different sections today on Name That Movie, Name That Lyric, also on our Spelling Bee, Double Trouble. You did a wonderful job. And how can I forget? We've got another challenge still active, still in force, en vigor, on our app. We're going to solve it right now. All right, folks, you needed to fill in the blank. I'm at my wits. ¿Qué era la palabra que nos faltaba ahí? I'm at my wits. What is the word we were looking for? The word was end. E-N-D. I'm at my wits' end. Estoy que no puedo más. I'm at my wits' end. E-N-D era la palabra que nos faltaba. Final, ¿no? I'm at my wits' end was the expression. Apréndetela como todas, como frase hecha. At my wits' end. And the best way to put it into context. I'm sure there's things in your life that you're at your wits' end. You're saying, I just can't take it anymore. I'm at my wits' end with this situation. I can't do anything about it. All right, so it's a good way, always personalize it. Or maybe even you're not at your wits' end with any situation. You're fine. But maybe you know someone who's in a horrible situation. Look, Sharon Osbourne with her father. She couldn't take him anymore. She was at her wits' end. And she said, Dad, forget it. I never want to see you again. I'm at my wits' end. And out of 160 participants, 88% of you guys got it right. Excellent job. 88%, which is excellent. 88%, my amigos. That is a fantastic figure. What a great way to start off our week here on this Monday. All right, well, folks, unfortunately, we are out of time today, completely and totally out of time. But don't worry, we're going to come back tomorrow and we're going to do it all over again. I promise. Bye-bye.